pleasant surprise for you today. My mother and father produced four sons, and they reared four other children, foster children that are like my brothers and sisters. But the four sons are Bill and Henry and Clifford and Steve. The first three are all ordained pastors. And number three, Clifford Morgan Wright, Pastor Wright of the Ohio Conference, is with us today. So, Cliff, my brother, welcome, my brother. Boy can preach too. Yes, sir. Glad to have him. I'll be with him next month doing some preaching in his district. These are some very, very interesting times for Seventh-day Adventists. You know, Adventists get all worked up about some things. And with the Pope coming, Adventists get all stirred up. Pastor, preach on Revelation 13. Preach on Revelation 16. We act like one event is going to solve the whole thing. It's just another folk in a series of events that lead us to the end of time. What do you say? But with those kind of things in mind, I do not apologize for taking time to promote our prayer ministry. Every Sabbath after second service, Sister Sonia Blackwood, fervent in prayer, fervent in leadership, constantly reminds me, Pastor, you didn't say anything about the prayer ministry. Of course, I do every Sabbath. But she's so caught up in it, she doesn't hear me when I say it. But please, carve out a few moments after service. I know you want to go over and eat, but the guests eat first anyhow. So church folk, come here and pray, let the guests eat, and you go over and get the rest of it. But the prayer teams meet, praying for husbands, praying for wives, praying for families, various groups, and it's always posted on the screen at the end of the service. We invite you to stay by for that experience. What about Kim Davis? Let's pray. Father God, speak to our hearts. Enter our hearts as with sung. Because we want to be a Christian. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're coming to the end of the third quarter under this theme, I serve. I serve. We've talked about shaped to serve, first quarter. Born to serve, second quarter. And I've really enjoyed this third quarter, risking to serve. And the last quarter will be saved to serve. We've learned a great deal. Learned much about the concept of how serving God can bring many risks to us personally. In fact, I would go so far as to say, you can't serve God without some risk. What do you say? It's costly. It's costly. You're going to give up something to serve Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so we started with the Charleston Nine, did two sermons on them. We learned from them that, Joy, when you serve the Lord, you may risk your very life. We'll be coming to that today. We learn from John the Apostle that serving God can mean risking your personal life plan, your agenda. John had one thing in mind for himself. Jesus had another thing in mind. We looked at that. We learned from Adam that you can't risk your salvation by making decisions for personal satisfaction. In so doing, he risked the whole planet. And we're still paying for it. We learned from Noah that you have to risk believing, Charles Williams, that when God asks you to do something, that you got to trust God that he's not asking you to do something you can't do. Build a boat, no water. Build a boat, no ocean. Build a boat on dry land, no rain for a flood. Noah. We learned from Moses that you cannot risk the riches, the comforts of this world and lose Jesus. We learned from Lot, you can't risk that while you're doing good, you're at the same time doing so much bad that the good you do gets lost. Remember Lot? Oh, we had a time with that. Had a time with that. We learned from Rachel, and I don't know why that sermon caught on, but I've gotten texts from all over the nation on that one. We learned the risk of making arrangements rather than accepting and trusting God to arrange for you what he's going to do to allow you to serve him. We learned you don't God doesn't need our help. Remember that sermon? I don't know why that sermon struck a bell, but it did. And then recently we learned from Joseph that you cannot risk your salvation by choosing to be an unforgiving person. In fact, we learned that forgiveness is a requirement. Didn't we learn that? Yes, we did. You don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. Is that the Bible?
Yes.
Hard stuff, man, but that's the Bible. And all of our pastors together, we have contributed to this concept of risking to serve. Well, today is my final sermon on this. Next week is International Day, and then in October, we get started with Save to Serve. I'm ready for you. Oh, yes. I've already written 3 sermons on that subject. Yeah. What about Kim Davis? Located in the hill country of northeastern Kentucky is Rowan County. The county is very conservative. 30% of the inhabitants live below the poverty line. The county clerk is Kim Davis. Heard of her? I know you have. You've been trying to figure out all week what I'm going to say about Kim Davis. She's risen to notoriety because she will not issue marriage licenses to gay couples. Just ain't gonna do it. She defied the district court. She defied the state court. She defied the Supreme Court of the land. She's been jailed and then recently released. And she's yet to defy it. She won't sign the marriage certificates that are being issued from her office in spite of her. Her case is not yet fully resolved, and the end of the story is yet pending. But there's a sense in which the sermon really is not about her. It's about something that we can learn. This issue of gay marriage has divided this country into 4 groups. those who see two men married or two women married as just morally wrong, and therefore civilly reprehensible. There's that group. Then group two, those who see gay marriage, man with man, woman with woman, as absolutely okay morally, and therefore a civil right that should have been extended a long time ago. There's that group. Look at you sitting there looking at me, wondering where I'm going. I love the saints. Then there's the third group. They've divided the apple. This is the large group in this country who do see a marriage between two men and two women as morally wrong, but argue that it is a civil right, and that as long as the law does not require a person or group to participate against their conscience, then the legal system, this middle group, this third group says, the legal system which governs us all should be unbiased, and the licenses for gay marriage should be granted by the civil authorities with no pressure on any ecclesiastical institutions. That's the third group. Moderate group. Morally wrong, but civilly okay. Some of y'all in that group. And then the fourth group, they could care less about it. Yeah, I wonder why we discuss it. That's the fourth group. This sermon is not about the right or wrong of gay marriage. I know some of you want me to just bash it, get on it, just stamp on it, Pastor. Not about that. That's not the purpose of this sermon. I can tell you that as a personal thing, I believe that gay marriage is morally wrong. I've contended from day one that God is against anything that defies his holy word. The Bible clearly condemns sexual activity between two men or two women. Therefore, since sexual activity is a part of marriage, I've never been able to condone gay marriage, even civilly. Now, some of you wanted me to say that just so you could say amen. You know, there's always that group in the churches, they want truth to be hammered. Bam! Hit them, Pastor. Aramon. What I think some of us who are against gay marriage forget is that the Bible is as strong against heterosexual misconduct as it is homosexual conduct. And so to be a heterosexual couple engaged in fornication, unmarried with unmarried, married with unmarried, or some of this other odd stuff that heterosexuals like to get involved in. Or whether it's man with man or woman with woman, all of it in the Bible is sin. And that's why I can't make Kim Davis a heroine. Because anybody who's been married four times is not an expert on any kind of marriage. So the sermon is not about her. Are you with me so far? Notice I'm taking my time because I want to pull you along with me. So, Pastor, if the sermon's not about Kim Davis and the sermon's not about gay marriage, what's with the title, What About Kim Davis? Well, just hold your horses. I'm getting there. What's the issue? Here it is. Here's the central question of the sermon. See, when I teach preaching, I tell all the young pastors, you got to have a central thought. Here it is. Is there anything religious, anything moral, anything civil, is there anything in your life that you're willing to put your freedom on the line for? Anything. See, I'm tired of Adventists talking about the last days. We're going to go through the time of trouble. We're going to be living in caves. You ain't never lived in no cave. You don't know what you're talking about. You have to stand firm. You won't even come to prayer meeting if you're tired. Stand firm. I get tired of this whole, all this hypocritical religion on the part of Adventists. The question of the day is there anything that stirs up your backbone? Anything so vital, so real, so convicting, so deep that you will give up all you have, life and stuff for? Is there anything? You can make fun of Kim Davis all you want, but she found something. That's what this sermon is about. And the Bible is clear on the issue. Psalm 69:7, I bear shame for the sake of God. Acts 5:41, we're not worthy to suffer, but we're rejoice in suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always dying for Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly will suffer persecution. Philippians 1:29, we are granted the privilege of suffering. It's a part of the contract. I ask again, is there anything? Because you can sit in church and say amen to your polka dot in the face, but until somebody tests you on something that you believe and threatens that if you do it, you're going to lose all. Until you've been through that, you are just putting your lips together when you say amen. Until you stood in front of the fiery furnace and felt the heat and said, we will not bow down until you've done that, you don't know what you're saying amen about. You're just talking. You're just talking. You're just playing religion. A part of the contract. Let me say it again. When you signed up for Jesus, when you went down into that watery grave and got baptized, you signed up to put all on the line for Jesus Christ. I need an amen out there. Amen. This thing is real. Not about whether you agree with Kim Davis or not. That's not even the issue. The issue is she tapped something in me as I watched the war field and saw what you asked myself. Is there anything? You may dismiss her as eccentric. Is there anything in your core? Anything that makes you who you are? Anything that stirs deep conviction and determination or because you see, here's why the pastor, Carl, must raise the question, because the world is full of too many sheep and donkeys who just follow what's going on. And when I read my Bible, I'll say, Daniels, when I read my scriptures, I read about a people, God's people, us, who one day must stand. I mean stand. I'm not coming in on Sabbath. Stand. You know, going to jail is no joke. I've been in jail. None of your business. Don't come up asking me nothing, no details. Ain't none of your business. That's a strange sound when they lock that door. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, not just been in jail. Don't sit up there all pious. You've been in jail. They got you. They took you. And handcuffs? Handcuffs? That's an indignity. And they lead you in front of people. Hope you're looking. You've done it. You ever buy somebody in handcuffs? Oh, my. And even the nicest jails are still confinement. Absence of control. No say over your movements. Eat when they say eat. Visit when they say you visit. Only who they say you can visit. But what is it? See, Pastor's still there. I keep gnawing at you. What is it in your life, so dear, so sacred, that you'd give up your freedom for? God knows my heart. I'm a diabetic, can't stand jail. God knows my heart. Can't go there. I won't come in. I won't come in every Sabbath, just some Sabbath. God knows my heart. He knows I love him. See, God, look, Bo, look at your pastor. God is going to find you out in these last days. Yes. Half-stepping, pretending. You've never been. See, now, there are people in the Adventist church around the world who've been through some things. Some of you from countries outside the United States, you have an idea what I'm talking about. There are countries where the Adventist church can't put up a sign. Countries where to join the church in a Muslim country means being beaten and put out of your house. Some folk know it, but most of us in this country, we don't have the slightest idea. Amen. What real suffering and sacrifice is. Revelation 7, 13 and 14. Revelation 7, 13 and 14. This is the picture painted in Scripture of last day people. Revelation 7, 13, and 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these? Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." He said to me, "These are the ones who've come out of what?" Come on, somebody. How much tribulation? I just read it. "And washed their robes and made them white." How? In the blood of the Lamb. Hey, who are these saved people? Who are these that God trusts by his throne? These are people who've been through something. That's why they're close to the throne. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. "When he had opened this seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" They're saying it was rough. It was rough. It lasted longer than we anticipated. Got some statements for you from Ellen White in just a few minutes. This is the picture. And then Revelation 12. This is the last book of the Bible. This paints our day. This book is about us. Revelation 12 and verse 7. The Bible declares there, "And the war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought." Verse 9. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast" where? Does that say Mars? Do you see Jupiter there? Where is he? He's here. How in the world do you think you're going to go all your life and not have a tough time? He's here. While you're sleeping, he's awake. While you're trying to do right, he's trying to make you do bad. He's here. The Bible continues, verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens." I really don't like this text. "Rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them." The Bible's kind of saying, glad he ain't up here. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." Where? Up there they're saying, "Hey, he's gone. Goody, goody, goody." I don't like this text. It upsets me. You know, y'all calm down up there. We got it down here. It's rough. The heavens are saying, "Sorry. We won. He kicked out down here. This is rough. This thing is real. I'm having a hard time. He's here." And the Bible says, "Woe Boys, they left out that word, whoa, whoa. It's a bad word, whoa. And then look at verse 17, look at it. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. That's the church, that's us, y'all. And went to make war. War with the rest of her offspring. Who do what? Who do what? That's us. That's us. He don't like you. Putting God before God. No graven images. Don't take his name. Keeping the Sabbath. Don't lie. Don't steal. He don't like you. So he wars against you. And that's why David Court, you're having a good week. That's abnormal. Come on, y'all. If you have a good week, that's abnormal. Bask in it. Ask the Lord to turn the clock back. Live the week again. Because most weeks. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I got Lacey Pleasant sitting right here. Going to get baptized and in the church. This week, devil leaped on her car so she'd have no way to get to church. But she came on anyhow. When the search is over, I'm going to dip her down in the water. What I'm telling you is, normal is war.
Break it down.
I got confidence and faith in you. Because, Tony, the Lord makes no mistakes. So, if he lets you be born in the last days, that means you got last day DNA all up in your brain. God said, this young man can take it. He can stand. I can trust him. I can trust him. Jesus speaks on the subject. Matthew 24. Got to hear from Jesus. Matthew 24. And verse 21. Look at this. For then there shall be great tribulation. There it is again. Why do they keep putting that word great in front of tribulation? Tribulation is fine just by itself. The Bible got to make things rough. Great tribulation. Just say tribulation. Such as been not been since the... Oh, my Lord. The Bible says our stuff is going to be worse than any stuff that's ever been. Look at you. Look at you. Hey, raise your chin up. You can do it.
Yeah.
Hey, I said, you can do it.
Amen.
That's kind of pitiful, y'all. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Being a little modest. Because I'll tell you, see, until you've had the experience of somebody locking the door behind you. Bam. And the jail doors, they kind of clang. Clang. And then the guard looks at you. Have a seat. What else am I gonna do? Run a race? Thing is 8x10, fella. Get on out of here. This thing is real.
Yeah.
It's real. Kim said, I'm in. I'm sorry, I'm in. You may not agree with what she did it for, but she did it. All I'm asking you is, what's your stuff? She did it over gay marriage. Okay, you don't agree or you don't agree with her. I don't care. What's your stuff? Where's your breaking point? Where do you stiffen your spine? Where? Is there anything? Luke 21. 16 and 17. Luke 21. This is. Whew. Luke 21 and verse 16 says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers. You see that? Relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. See, I've read it, America. In the last days, people you were baptized with will leave the church. and they will tell on the Adventists. Members of your family that you grew up with will leave the church, and they will turn on you for being faithful. But we need to stop sitting around and joking and recognize the time is upon us. And I don't preach these sermons to scare you. I preach these sermons to bring you to reality. To bring you to reality. And then look at verse 17. And you will be hated for all, by all for my name's sake. So, why is this important? There are specific areas. I'm going to wrap it up now. There are specific areas of life. There are specific areas of life and belief where God's people will be tested in the final days. Revelation 13, 15 through 17. Specific areas. Revelation 13. See, some of y'all wanted me to preach on Revelation 13. Well, here's a snippet. This is the chapter that paints the rise of papal power and the influence that they will have. Verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their forehead, that no one may buy or sell, except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Let's put that statement up there, fellas. You see this? Everybody's reading. Balcony, full attention. Everybody's reading. Come on. Especially, start again. Especially will the wrath of man be aroused against those. Is that you? That's you. We're reading about you. Let's keep reading then and see what. And at last, a universal decree will be announced, these as deserving of death. Warfield over the Sabbath. Over what we're doing right now, taking for granted we can do it. But the day will come when you will walk up to this great church and the door will be locked. Not by the deacons, not by the custodians, but by the civil authority. And to be identified with this will be to put yourself and your life. I ask the question one more time. Is there anything that you believe in? Anything that you're prepared to stand for? The next statement, fellas. Come on. When the protection of human laws shall be over withdrawn from those. See, Kim, bless her heart. I'm not sure what you did was wise. You know, just quit your job, Mom. But anyhow. But her argument was, this law conflicts with the law of God. Now, we Adventists, Brother Pyramid, we've been preaching for years, there's going to be a law passed that's going to force you to observe the first day and not. Now either we believe this stuff or we don't. If you do, you must ask yourself, what am I going to do at that time? Some of you will live through it. Some of you, God will put to sleep because he knows you can't go through it. And I don't mind that. No, I told the Lord, no, I'm not going to start. See this stuff about, I want to stand. No, you whatever you see. You see, I ain't got no backbone. Put me to sleep. Save me. Ain't no hero stuff here. No. I'll be afraid, Frank. If he looks at me and sees I ain't got for it, take me out now. Y'all give me some nice flowers, nice box and stuff like that. See you in the kingdom. But somebody is going to be able to stand. And the Bible says, look at it, look at it. There will be in different lands a simultaneous movement for their destruction. Somebody here, and I'm proud of you. Maybe I'll be one. We're going to stand. Somebody say stand.
Stand.
Yes. This thing stirs me up. Special people, God's people, backbone people, courageous people. Revelation 16, 13 and 14. So the Sabbath is an issue. Revelation 16, 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits. Like frogs, an Adventist text here, y'all. Only Adventists can preach this text. Yes! And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are, verse 14, do you see it? The spirits of what?
Demons.
Doing what?
Signs.
Let's get the next statement. Ready? You're reading, and Satan, surrounded by evil angels and claiming to be God, Paul said he saw Satan coming as an angel of light. Ellen White says, prophesies, he will actually have a false second coming, will declare that God has changed his law. And some of you will live through that. And the Bible says, if it were possible, then it said if it were possible, the very elect shall be deceived. That tells me they shall not be deceived. Look at you. Some of you are going to go through that. Standing tall, standing strong. Hey, this must be Jesus. He's performing miracles, but you read the text. Yeah, you read the text because CNN had to tell you that he was there. You know if CNN's got to tell you he's there, he's not there. Every eye shall see him. From the east to the west, you've got Bible in your brain, so you will not be deceived. Let him heal everybody. You ain't going out there because when Jesus comes, you don't need no TV. The sky shall be the TV. Yeah. Here it is. She sums it up. Come on. Through the two great eras, the immortality of the soul, and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people who are dead will show up. But you'll know better, because you know they don't come up till Jesus comes. See, all these Bible lessons, Joe, that we Adventists have been studying, all these sermons we've been hearing, all these revivals we've been attending. The Bible declares in John 14, in that day, I'll bring back to your remembrance, O'Neill, the things that you taught in Sabbath school, and the devil will think he's got him. O'Neill will say, oh, that's not in the Bible. You the devil. You ain't my mama. You the devil. Yes. That's O'Neill. He's going to stand tough and tall. You're going to stand. Don't be afraid. We just don't have any more time for mamby-pamby, yellow-backed, half-stepping, eating pork sometime, vegetables another time. Seventh-day Adventists, we got no time for that anymore. Everybody's got to stand tall and straight. I need the church to say amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Daniel 12:1. Pastor's wrapping up. I know I said that 10 minutes ago, but I'm still wrapping up. Oh, I tell you, these sermons, sometimes I enjoy my own sermons too much. Daniel 12, verse 1. The Lord filled me up with this thing. I got to tell you what he said. At that time, I'm reading the Bible, shall Michael stand up? That's Jesus. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time. Read it. Now, this statement I'm about to read is the most serious one in the sermon. Here we go.
And
the wrong one up there. Ah, there you go. That's my fellow. Let's go. The time of trouble, such as never was, is soon open. And we shall, slow down. Come on. And we shall need an experience which we do not now possess, and which too many. Gotta trade some of them sloppy DVDs. Some of that unta music. So what's unta music? I don't know, it just sounds good to sermon. Jumpy. Libido stirring music. You gotta trade some of those R's in front of the TV. To gain an experience which you do not now have. That's why Lisette, he has held back, letting these things come upon us. We don't have the experience we need. That's why missing church just because you're tired don't make no sense. How can you afford to miss something that God may have for you? That's why this habit on the part of God's people, I mean, they'll come to prayer meeting at least once a year. Now don't sit there feeling all guilty because you ain't been in 5 years. Look, the experience. See, you need an experience. And she says, we're too indolent. Our agenda is full of self and stuff. That's all the point I'm trying to make. When do you get serious about being saved? You can't just keep walking the same treadmill, expecting to all of a sudden, well, when the Holy Spirit pours out upon us, we'll be fine. You ain't going to get no holy nothing. It's going to pass right over you. Tongues of fire over here, darkness over here. Why? You did not gain the experience that allowed you to be trusted with heavenly power. That's the most serious statement of the sermon. We do not now have, I thank God for me, Warfield. We don't possess the experience that we need to have. That troubled me. I looked within. I was not totally satisfied. And so the Lord in mercy, no wonder John wrote, thank you, Lord, tell the angels, hold back the winds. We ain't ready. So that the servants of God may be sealed in their foreheads. Well, that's enough. That's enough. Let's go to that volume 9 statement that you put up there too soon. I saw a covering. Put that one up. Yeah. Thanks, Esky. You're where you need to be. Come on now. Let's read. I saw a covering that God is drawing over his feet to protect them. Now, pause, and let's give God glory. Cover, Joy. He's drawing a cover over me. Hey! Cover! Cover! Read on, read on. And every soul that was decided on the truth and was pure in heart. One more. Come on. But in the midst of the time of trouble that has come, God's chosen people. No, you ain't ready to read on nothing yet. How you gonna stand? Unmoved. Say it loud. How you gonna stand? Unmoved. Come on. Satan and his hope. cannot destroy them. Stand, man. Turn to somebody right now and say, we're going to stand.
We're going to stand.
Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Whatever the Lord needs you to play, ask him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You going to sing for me? Praise God. You got a nice voice. Praise God. Looking at yourself now. Ooh, Lord, help me. Help me to stand. Help me to stand. We started, Lord, with the question, is there anything so dear to Henry Wright that he would give up his freedom and his life for the sake of belief? Sing, young lady.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold.
Let some peace come over your soul now.
I'd rather be his,
claim the peace of God,
than have riches untold.
Ask him to forgive you for wavering moments.
I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be
emphasize the old landmarks of Adventism. Courage to stand. Courage to be different. Courage. What about Kim Davis? Well, we commend her to you. It's what about me? That's the real issue here. What about me? Three appeals today, quickly. Number one, I'm not a naturally courageous person. I just am not. I mean well, but under pressure I find some way where maybe I don't have to speak. I don't have to stand, because I don't do well being on the spot. I don't do well having people looking at me and seeing that I'm different. So I may go on and laugh at the dirty joke just to keep from being different. I may go on and take a sip of the beer or the wine just to keep from having to explain why I don't. I just don't do well. Too much pressure from the boss. I'll come on in on Saturday. And I'm not proud of that. Pastor's sermon just kind of worked on me. You want me to pray for you? Don't have to stand. But I'm wondering if you'd have the courage to just raise your hand where you are. Need more courage. I see the hands. God bless you. God bless you. Father, you see those confessing the need for courage. Bestow what they've asked for according to your grace and mercy. Second appeal. I've been sitting here Sabbath after Sabbath, Or maybe visiting for the first time today, but the truths the pastor has laid out there, some of them even knew. What's this about Sabbath? What this is about spiritualism? What is this? What is it preaching? What is this about laws being passed? Where is this man coming from? You want to study more. You want to study more. Now don't be afraid. There's a card in the back of the pew, a yellow card. And friends and neighbors, if you see somebody, try to find the card. Help them find the card. I want you to pick up that card right now. Sign it. Circle Bible study. We'll be in touch. You just want to study. Need to know more. Third appeal. It's time to take a stand. It's time to take a stand. Now I'm going to give you two options. I'm going to invite you to come forward, but if not, then just pick up the card. Indicate that you make your decision today to become a member. Prepare for baptism. But if there's someone who wants to get up and come down front to take your stand for truth, to be a part of this church, if you're here, just get up and come. God bless you, young man. You got right up. God bless you. Have a seat. Let the church say amen. Somebody else? Now, if you don't want to come down, just take that card. Take that card. But you'd like to just get up and come on down. Just next course, young lady, and then the next verse, and then the course. Let's just see.
I'd rather have Jesus.
You're praying, church. You help the pastor make appeals.
You pray.
Prayer is the power.
I'd rather be faithful.
Pray that someone
to
will come. Pray that someone will take a
cross. I'd rather have Jesus than a worldwide fame.
Somebody else, get up and walk down.
I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be than ever.